thank you for entering into worship the way you did. Never forget when we come here, we come to enter into the presence of God, for him to speak to our hearts. And so I'm going to invite you this morning to hear God's heart for others. As a pastor, and every Sunday morning, I mean, I and our church staff, we pray for you. This is not some kind of organization that every once in a while we're just glad you show up to an event. Like, you're part of our family. I think about you all the time. And on Sunday morning, all I want to do is talk to each of you about everything going on in your lives. And I always want this service to be about a blessing of strengthening and comfort for you and what you're going through. And so sometimes when the Lord shows me that it's time to help you and me think about everybody else, it's actually a little hard for me. Because I just want to pour into everything that you're going through right now. And yet sometimes God's healing for us is not an answer for my situation. It's learning from my heart and learning to hear God's voice to care for the people around me. And so that's why we're doing Football Sunday. It's a Sunday where we invite our friends, and I'm asking all of you to invite at least two or three people. I really would love to see every household bring someone next week. And in that, we want to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because a victory at a Super Bowl makes you happy for a night. But I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know this. But in the Super Bowl, there's Super Bowl Sunday, and then Monday is referred to as Super Sick Monday. Because 14 million people take off work that day because they stayed up too late watching the Super Bowl. All right? And so that victory is very short-lived, is it not? Okay? But there's a victory this next Sunday we want everybody to know about that will change every day of their life. It's the victory you and I are understanding as we're going through this series on spiritual 2020. The idea of, like, what's true about life that is more than what I can see? And every week, God has powerfully been giving me the ability to share with you the truth about life so that the patterns you're in and the things you're struggling with, you think, I try and try and try and nothing changes. That's because there's more than just you trying going on. There's a spiritual world that we are in the midst of and a spiritual war that we are in the midst of. And I want to encourage you this morning that you and the day, this week is so much more important than you realize. So much more important. You are so much more important than your job title, than the amount of money you make, than who's following you on social media, than the mistakes you've made in the past and the things you're trying to get right. You are more important to that. Because the Bible tells us that in the beginning, God made you as a partner with him to bring life and goodness into this world. That's you I'm talking about. God made you to partner with him to in this world to help bring life that always begins spiritually before it begins physically. That's always the way it begins. And you are called to still do this. You're called to be a person who partners with God to intercede for others. This is how I define intercession. To persistently pray and personally sacrifice in the power of the Holy Spirit for someone else's freedom and blessing in Christ. Look, the first question on your handout is, who do you care about? Who do you care about in life? Now, hopefully, the Lord's worked deep enough in all our lives that we don't just care about ourselves. Lord, bless me, fix me, help me, give me. All right, hopefully we're getting past that. God will take care of what we need. And life is about caring for others. And I don't know, in your workplace, at your school, in your neighborhood, friendship circles, who doesn't know Jesus? If you care about him, you've got to want him to know the one who brings life, the only one who's the Prince of Peace. If someone you care about needs peace, Jesus is the only permanent answer. And so as we think about who we care about, God has us as people who have been born again in him to persistently pray and personally sacrifice. Sometimes when we talk about intercession, we only talk about the prayer part. Very, very important. That's why it's part of it. But sometimes we forget that Jesus, Isaiah, was it 51, says that Jesus made intercession for us. How? He prayed for us, but he also gave his life. And intercession is both about prayer and authority in the Spirit, and we're going to talk about that this morning, and also about how I act like Christ in giving my life for others. And we've got to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit, because all of us in this room have tried to do it in the power of our own goodness. And that has not lasted. And people we have tried to care for or even intercede for, when we have stopped doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence who is with us right now, when we've stopped doing it in the Holy Spirit, we end up getting frustrated. We end up even closing our heart to that person and giving up on them because we're like, that's enough. I'm done. Right? So we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, gave his life on the cross. To get all the way to the sacrifice that will deliver people, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. All the way. And it's for someone else's freedom and blessing in Christ. Now, today we're going to particularly talk about those who don't know Jesus. But you can also be doing, this is what you do as a parent, as a grandparent, as a family member, as a mentor, as a godparent, as someone who cares about someone else. It's, Lord, help me persistently pray and help me also personally sacrifice. And we're going to talk about that because as your pastor, as I watch all of us go through life and there are people we care about and relationships are what make life, there can be so many aches and pains as we see people we love make wrong choices or be deceived by the enemy and do the wrong thing. And if we don't understand how to intercede, if we don't understand that this is our main identity in life, you were created to do this. And I were created. All the money in the world doesn't have as much power as when I do this for somebody. So I just want to encourage you that today's a very important message. And as your pastor and praying for you to have a blessed life and have victory in life, I feel like this is such an important teaching. Now, I can't go over everything we've talked about the last 3 weeks, but this is going to be important to remember for what we're going to teach on this morning. That God made you a spirit who has a soul to direct your body. So any person in this room who does not believe they are spiritual, I'm just not spiritual. Biggest lie in the world. Couldn't be a bigger lie in your life. Not only are you spiritual, you are a spirit. That is how God made you. You are a spirit who God's given a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. What I think, what I feel, what I want. All right? And God has given you this so that he didn't make a robot to partner with him to create life in this world. He made someone in his image who God could say, hey, go on a physical plane, go plant a garden. Well, now your soul has this imagination, this desire, this passion, and it's going to create a form of beauty in the physical that brings joy to God's heart because like, oh, yeah, that's what I do right there. So you have the ability to make decisions. You're not a robot. God's partnering with you, not as someone who just does. You have the ability to uniquely show God's creativeness in who you are. And no one can demonstrate a particular dimension of his creativeness like you can. Because he made you to do it. And once his spirit fills you to bring life to others, and once your mind and your feelings and your will begin to imagine and dream for God and begin to pursue the idea of I'm gonna create life in this world. Then he gives you this body to live it out and create things like justice, to create things like mercy, to create things like a home for youth or something for for a community that's in need. God gives you the ability to put this together. And when he built this and when he made this and he called you to this, the original idea was your spirit was going to live on God's presence. And your soul was going to always be shaped by God's love. So you never thought, felt, or wanted in fear. You would never think about something. You would never let fear shape the way you think or the way you feel about what I need to do next or about what I want. It would never be fear. It would always be God's love. And then your body would have God's ways. It would just obey God's word. And the word would be life. And so you would start taking God's good work and spreading it into every community, every school, every neighborhood, every place where people say death and trouble and chaos reign. God would bring you and put you there and say, go plant some life. Go make some life happen. Now that's who we're supposed to be. But the scripture says that Satan, who is the enemy of God's glory and of his goodness and wants to take God's glory out of the world and out of your life and out of your family and out of your community, that he steals, kills, and destroys. And what he does is he works to conquer your spirit. He brings pain into your life, and as that pain or disappointment or frustration come, he then offers you solutions through the demonic, through the whispers and the lie of, hey, I can help you get this. You don't ever have to feel pain again. You can escape. You can escape those consequences. Do it my way. And as he does this, he blinds our soul with the sinful nature, and he gets us thinking about what I want and what's good for me now, and this is how I feel right now, and this is what I want right now, and this is what makes sense just to me and for me right now. And our soul gets blinded by the sinful nature that's in us, and the world's ways are always around us, convincing us, oh yeah, no, that's normal. Do it this way. This is the world's way. And what happens is the enemy comes to conquer our spirit, to blind our soul, and to enslave our body. And the world echoes all of it, and satanic forces convince us and influence in this, and our sinful nature says, more for me, more for me, more for me. And we live in bondage, and we look at the world and say, we're just normal like everybody else. And this is not God's plan for the world. This is not God's plan for your life. And when Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. You do not have to live in addiction this morning. You can be set free from addiction this morning. Your body does not have to be enslaved to anything of this world. Recovery of sight for the blind. Jesus came to save our soul, to help us to realize the goodness and the love and the mercy of God. And no matter what the world's told you about Christianity or the Bible or those people, don't you believe it. Because the greatest testimony of how God feels about you is the cross of Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you. And he came to release the oppressed. And we talked about that last week. We don't have to live in agreement using the world and Satan's work to accomplish life anymore. This is what we've talked about. So Jesus has done that in us, and we're all in the form of growing in that freedom. None of us have arrived. None of us are all perfect. We get that, okay? But as we're doing that, Jesus does something very unique in us. As we're amazed that God's doing it for us, he says, now I want you to partner with me to do it for someone else. And you and I are like, God, I'm still a big work in progress. I can't do this right. He's like, no, you can, because I'm going to work through you. And so what we have is today's passage in Matthew 16. We have the time when Jesus knows he's about to go to the cross. And he's got his disciples, and he needs to pull them away for a little bit to get them ready, because pretty soon when he dies, resurrects, and ascends to heaven, they are going to have to continue to do what he did. So this is a passage where Jesus has got his team together and say, here's the play. Here's how you run the play. Here's how you have victory in life. Next week, again, I'm going to do a nice, simple kind of football-related version of this part of the message about the battles none of us see, but we're all facing in life and where real victory is from. We're going to do that next week. But this week, what I want us to see is that we together are supposed to understand what Jesus teaches these disciples, and then we're supposed to live it out, okay? Because here's the interesting part of Matthew 16 as we get into this passage. When Jesus does this, he takes them to a place that's on the very northern edge of Israel. You go past this, you're not in Israel anymore, okay? So Jesus is taking them to the edge of what's supposed to be holy, what's supposed to be good religion. He's taking them to the very edge of it. And he's taken this place called Caesarea Philippi, named after the Caesar, okay? And it was really, it wasn't just north of Israel, but here's what you need to know when we're about to read this passage. It was the capital of sin and evil. It was the closest thing to hell that anybody in the Jewish world knew. A matter of fact, it was a place of pagan worship. And in this place, the Caesarea Philippi, all right, there was this big cave that had this abyss that went down farther than anybody could see. And that cave and that abyss was literally called the gates of hell. That was its name in Jesus' day. So when Jesus is talking to his disciples in this passage, he's going to mention the gates of hell. And in the background, it's going to be the gates of hell. Literally, in that day and age. And in this place, they worshiped especially the god known as Pan. And it was all about, I want to say it nice in church, just a lot of sexual immorality, very visible, with lots of people, and would make everybody quite uncomfortable. All right, this was not hidden. This was out in the open where Jesus is. So I want you to get this. Jesus is about to teach his disciples about intercession, because they're going to have to intercede once he's gone. And he's about to teach them, but he chooses a place where in the background, I mean, I'm not saying they're right there, but they're in the distance, and they can see things that nobody should see going on out in the open. They're seeing it. And Jesus chooses this spot. Why? Because if he's going to teach about intercession, he's got to teach it in a place where he says to the disciples, this is who you're interceding for. This is who you're interceding for. Because you and I, we hear about intercession, and look, we know we're not neat and clean, right? But we tend to choose neat and clean people, at least in some version of the world standards, to intercede for. And there's this kind of church culture, oh, that's disgusting. Oh, those people, I can't believe that. And Jesus, he's teaching on intercession, and his whole visual is, if you don't know how to intercede for these people, you don't know how to intercede. Because nothing you see with your eyes is as important as what really is going on in the spiritual in their life. And if you don't learn to look past what you're seeing in the physical, how can you ever have my heart for them? If you don't learn to look past, oh my, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they think that. I can't believe they do that way. They look this way. If you can't learn to see past that, then you can't see like Jesus, because Jesus died for everybody. We had two little kids quote John 3:16, it's for the whole world. And that's where Jesus teaches about intercession. So come on, everybody. You got to learn to look past the physical. You got to learn to look past it and see like I see, a spirit that's conquered, a soul that is blinded, a body that's enslaved. This isn't something to be repulsed about. This is something to cry over. This is something to remember that I built people in my image to be part of life, and these people, they're trapped in death. And we live in such a culture, in such a political climate, that everybody's yelling at each other. And there's place for political discourse, and there are places for prophetic rebuke, and all those things. But you can't lose the heart of seeing like Jesus sees. Because if you don't see like he sees, you can't intercede like he's interceded. That's this passage. That's what the disciples who are probably wondering, Jesus, this is super uncomfortable. Why in the world are we here? How about teach me at the temple, not at that temple, right? That's what Jesus is doing. So I want you to hear these words. And I don't know who you think of, like, oh, those people, that's disgusting. Like, we've got to hear these words from Jesus and ask God with everything in your heart, God, teach me to see the way you see. Because I'll never do what you do if I don't see the way you see. So listen to these words. Matthew 16, verses 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He's religious. He's a good teacher. Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You've seen past your physical. God's given you spiritual vision. And I tell you that you are Peter, that little rock, the word little rock, but on the rock that I'm the Christ, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell do not own these people if I come into their life. There's no such thing as can't change. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Look right in here. There's beautiful depth of study into spiritual deliverance or intercession, but don't ever be confused that intercession is based on a very simple truth. It's all about Jesus. It's who he is. It's who he is. It's what he does, not us, him. And it's how he works, which is us and him. And we want to look at those three together. Because sometimes as we talk about intercession, sometimes as we talk about prayer, deliverance, spiritual warfare, sometimes we make it too formulaic. Now again, there's nothing wrong with studying deeper and understanding and letting the Spirit show you different things you need to understand. But let's not miss that it's about Jesus. It's about who he is, not who we are, who he is. It's about what he does. So I'm not going out doing something. I'm partnering with him and he's doing something through me because that's how he works. There's nothing more important that you're going to do this week than intercede for somebody. Nothing. You could just be a child in Christ and barely know anything. You're still about to do the most important thing of anybody in your workplace this week when you intercede for your coworkers. So let's look at these three things. I'll try not to take too much time, but I want you to hear this. Okay, first we've got to know who Jesus is. Everybody's got opinions about Jesus, but Jesus is saying to the disciples, you got to get straight who I am. I'm not just a good teacher. I'm the Christ. Now the word Christ, we hear that a lot. The easiest way to think of it is Jesus is the King of heaven. Christ, the King of heaven, the anointed one. In other words, God has chosen this man, the Son of the living God, God and man come together, chosen him. No one has more authority than he has in all the world. No one. No gate of hell, no sexual immorality, no pagan worship, none of it. Jesus is the Christ. And you've got to know that. We live in a world that says, oh, he's a good teacher, he's a prophet, he's this. Look, we can be respectful and kind and gracious. We can be listeners as well as talkers to other people who don't believe. But do not swallow the world's lie. There is only one Savior, and there is only one power that can break any work of the enemy and any work, and it's Jesus Christ. You can say amen to that. All right, so here's a fundamental principle that if we don't understand, we will give up in our intercession. So it's very important. We'll give up in caring for people who don't seem to be changing. We're praying. We're getting aggravated. We're getting frustrated. If you don't understand this point, you're going to give up. Here we go. As the Christ, Jesus is always good. He's always good. He's never not. All right? Sometimes we're like, I don't understand why God hasn't done anything. Like somehow we get what he doesn't get. Like we care more than he cares. Okay? Not true. All right? We need to be careful about the way we talk. He is good and he is able. So now we take that fact and here's where we stumble. We say, well, there's nobody with more authority than Jesus. He's always good. I've asked him to do this. It should be done. It should just happen right now. Pray, done. Right? 2 + 2 = 4, right? This is not complicated. Okay, I want you to hear me. His goodness is bigger than your circle of understanding. So this is what we've got to understand. He's Christ of heaven, of all universe, of all of time. All right, so we need to understand this. Not only is he good and able, not only always good, but he's always working for more than what I can see, more than what's in my life, about my life, or in my lifetime. So sometimes we're praying and we're trying to intercede and we're like, just make this happen. And, you know, it's like, God, just make this miracle happen. Show this physically. Make everybody see this. All right? Now look, what we have to understand that moment, remember I showed you that diagram of what the spirit, soul, and body are going through? What if, more than what we see, is the enemy still got a stronghold in that person's life? And then we ask God to work a miracle on the outside. And all of a sudden, it reinforces their stronghold. Oh, God loves me just this way, and it can always happen just this way. And look, and all of a sudden, we've just got to recognize there's more than what we see that God sees in the prayer we're praying. So we're going to pray very diligently, and we're going to pray with power, knowing God is going to be good. But we've got to remember, we have authority, but we do not have sovereignty when it comes to intercession. So what you and I want to do is we want to pray for the good work of God, and we're going to talk about how you can always know you're praying the right thing, okay? But what we need to recognize is God will, when we pray for someone's deliverance, for someone's healing, for provision, we can be confident God is always answering what is good. We just have to be careful that it has to look the way we think it has to look, right? Simple enough? Right? It doesn't have to, you know, God, this seems so obvious. Just do it this way. And God's saying, well, no, I'm the King of heaven. I'm working something there. So let me give you an example. You know, if you like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, that's the book of Philippians. I'm just going to believe that right now. Well, let me ask you, where did Paul write the book of Philippians from? Oh, wait a minute. He was in prison. The guy who said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, was in prison when he wrote that. You think Paul was enjoying being in prison? You don't think maybe he asked God, get me out of prison? Especially since it was unjust? You don't think he prayed that? Well, 2 + 2 = 4, why isn't he out? He was out. He wasn't out yet because in God's sovereignty, he had to write something that was going to go beyond his lifetime, and billions of people were going to read it. See, it wasn't just 2 + 2 = 4. There was this eternity factor in the equation, and that equation meant that Paul didn't get the look and the timing that he wanted in his answer because God was doing more than he can ask for a thing of it. He just didn't understand it. He didn't understand his time. And the whole reason, I mean, I'm sure Paul prayed, like, get me out of here. Why am I here? But God had something for Paul to finish in that place. And I just want you to hear this. You and I, we got to learn to wait and trust in God. Because sometimes the obvious, God, why don't you just get me out of prison? It's because God's doing something beyond your lifetime. You. Well, I'm not the Apostle Paul. Well, you know what? The Apostle Paul wasn't the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul was before the Apostle Paul. Use that quote. I dare you. Use that quote. You know, pastor said something. Wait, no. It's like, yeah, you. God wants to do through you more than your life, what's in your lifetime. And sometimes he's always going to be good. You pray. If God, it seems to me you should just do this. Do this in the physical right now. Go ahead and pray it. But then trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. 1 John 5. Would you read this out loud with me right now? This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him in the Spirit. He's going to do it. He's going to be faithful. I can't tell you what it's going to look like. I could tell you he's going to answer because he always does. He's always answering. Maybe he's working something of compassion or brokenness in your life. It's like, God, why don't you just get me out of this circumstance prison? He's saying, let me finish my work I'm writing in your life right now. Maybe it's not even about you. Maybe it's about loved ones around you. Maybe it's not even about anybody around you, but the nurse you've got to see on your visit for your health, or that person you've got to deal with because the bill isn't paid. Maybe it's for them that you're not out yet. And maybe it's not about anybody you're going to see in your lifetime, because God's that big. And that's the gospel. That's how important your life is in him. So just hold on to that. When we intercede, we must stay filled with the Spirit, because, man, we are going to get so frustrated with people if we intercede for people and don't stay in the Spirit and focused on his goodness and his eternal plan. God's answering. God's not going to fail. Trust him. Keep praying. All right, number two, knowing what Jesus does, he says, upon the bedrock that I am the Christ, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the most evil place that no Jew would ever be, not going to prevail. I can get people from that way of life. I can get people who live in that area. I can get people who think that way, do that thing, act that way. They're all mine. The gates of hell won't prevail. And so what we have to realize is we always want to pray according to Jesus' work. So as the Christ, as the King of heaven, anything the King says gets done. All right? Jesus and his word are the only power able to overcome any and every attempt of hell to keep people from God's love and life. That's it. So what we do is we pray God's word, pray his scripture. It has such power. More power. You may not see a change in the physical. I'm telling you what, you're changing the spiritual when you pray God's word. When we pray in Jesus' name, and not, we don't use in Jesus' name like as a little formula. We're saying he's with us, working with us right now. I'm agreeing with the Son of God who is living at the right hand of Father. This is what he wants. This is what he's saying right now. So we've got to do that together. So what we do is the way we persist in prayer and the way we persist in loving someone is we follow the scripture. We pray and live it out. As intercessors, we must use God's word to pray and practically live out the grace and the truth of Jesus. Look, we live in a world that says if you care about somebody, don't upset them by telling them what you believe. Right? That's our world today. If you care about someone, if you want to live at peace with someone, if you want to be a good neighbor, or if you want to work together, and don't tell them what you believe. Do you realize, and I'm not saying do this aggressively or belligerently or as in this act of superiority, but do you realize how much that's a lie from the pit of hell to do that? You are taking away the only thing that can change your life. You're taking away the only thing that can heal a community. You're taking away the only thing that can bring hope to people who are feeling suicidal or depressed or angry or violent. You've got to bring the name of Jesus into it. And you've got to share the scripture. You have to. Sorry, all my gots. Okay, all my grammar people. You have to do it. It's the only thing that has authority. When the king speaks, the king gets what the king wants. The word of God is his word. And when you pray it into the heavenlies, you're praying the will of God. You're accomplishing more than you ever could realize. And it doesn't matter what you're seeing in that moment. What's true is you're changing the world. I want you to hear this. I want you to see. Now, so real simple. Some of us know this. I just want to make a reminder, just a real practical application right here, okay? All right, when we pray, first of all, we see something, it troubles us. Can you imagine how the disciples would pray if Jesus hadn't brought them to that Caesarea Philippi? You're like, oh my Lord, just, you know, do all these bad things to all these bad people so nobody gets influenced by their bad. That would be their prayer. But when they remember, when they start with, wait a minute, Jesus, first I'm going to start remembering your heart for people. First I'm going to remember how you care and what your spirit wants right now. And then I'm going to identify the demonic agreement, the thing, the lie that they're believing about their insecurities, their inferiority, their pride. This is what strength is. This is what beauty is. This is what power is. I'm gonna pray. I just say, you know, Lord, they're bound by that. And Satan, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. That's Jude verse 9. The Lord Jesus rebuke you. It's my favorite way to do spiritual warfare. Because I definitely, you know, in Jesus' name do this. But sometimes when you do Jesus' name, it's like I'm doing it and I'm just tacking Jesus' name. I like to just follow the scripture. Scripture says, Satan, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. Because he already has. He's still doing it. And I'm just agreeing with him. You be defeated in this person's life in his name by his rebuke, not mine, by his rebuke. All right? And then I want to find God's word and pray it over them. I want to pray the opposite of the lie. If everybody in the family is not getting along, if everybody doesn't want to talk to each other, if isolation and division is prevailing, I want to pray the exact opposite over that. I want to live it out as well. All right? I want to replace it with God's word. And then I want to finish up being thankful that God's heard my prayer. God's good. God, I can't wait to see this. God, thank you for giving me what I need while I'm trying to serve that other person. Thank you that you're faithful. Lord, whether I see it in my lifetime or I get to be like Moses and go up to the mountain and see it before I go home, either way is good with me. You're going to be faithful. You're going to do what you said you're going to do. All right? This is the way we pray. You'll notice on the back of your handout, I've given you 7 prayers. Now, you could do any prayer you want, too, okay? I don't know, maybe by the end of tomorrow, we could make sure this is in Spanish, too, and maybe post it online on our Facebook, because I just realized we didn't have this in Spanish. These are prayers to pray over your sons and daughters, just to bless them. They could be Christians. What I would like you to do, again, my vision is at least every household brings at least one person next Sunday morning. At least one. Every household here. Bring somebody. Man, share the good news of Jesus with them. Okay? Let's just use football as a bridge. All right? But every day this week, don't just invite them. Pray for them. At least pray one of these prayers every day this week for their prayer. The blank is for their name. Say it out loud. Pray it out loud. Remember, Satan doesn't know what you're thinking. He can influence. He doesn't know. You got to speak it out loud. You got to speak it out loud, all right? Just pray over. Pray over your kids. Pray over people you care about. And you'll notice there's a scripture. You read it and then read that scripture out loud and say, that's for them. I believe that's the truth. And what we'll do is, here's what we're going to accomplish. Here's my final point, all right? Jesus said, this is how I'm going to work. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, which is him. He is the key, all right? And then what you're going to do is, with me, with him, you're going to bind on earth what needs to be bound, and you're going to loose what needs to be loosed. Now, there's a lot of in-depth teaching on that. I'm just going to go super pastor practical on this, okay? So here's what we're doing. As the Christ Jesus, he's choosing us to partner with him. So remember, on this earth, it's our body that completes life in this world. So it's important what we say, okay? So he wants to use us to support what we say and what we do, and we partner with God, and on this earth, he's given us the authority. We use this mouth, we use this body to agree with what Jesus wants in the world, no matter what the world's saying, right? And when we do that, here we go. This is going to be important. We bind the enemy's work and the world's lies. So literally, in the spirit, when you pray the truth of the scripture, what you're doing is you're attacking and binding. You're sealing up. You're not letting them do whatever they want anymore. You're breaking down the demonic, and you're breaking down the world's lies. Very important. You are not forcing someone to make a decision for Christ. You can't pray to make them know Jesus. Okay? Because it's God's given them a will. God's given them a mind and feel emotions and a will, and that sinful nature, you can't bind that because God's not binding that. God's given people the power to choose. God's given people the power to make their own choices and to participate with him or participate with the enemy. But what we are doing is we're binding any lie and any influence of Satan that's working in that person's life. And what we're also binding are the world's lies and belief system. And so when you're interceding in prayer, that's what you're doing in binding, okay? And then, because what the scripture says here is the God of this age has blinded minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of God. They can't even see it because the enemy's put this giant veil, blindness around them, put them in prison. But when you do this, you're breaking that. You're breaking it so they can begin to see. But guess what? Our prayers do not manipulate or control. It's not voodoo. It's not magic. We're not making someone do something. What we're doing is we're tearing down the works of the enemy. Again, Satan dominates, intimidates, manipulates. He forces. God invites. God says, come on in. The enemy tempts. God reveals. Say, hey, let's see, understand. And so what we're doing in prayer, parents, you pray. You should be praying this all the time. I should be praying all this time for my kids. Bind any work of the enemy against their life. But then what we want to do is we don't just want to bind, we want to loose. What do we loose? We loose a visible, receivable, sacrificial act of love. Okay? So what we do is we're binding the enemy, but we're not praying. We're praying against the enemy. We are absolutely controlling the spiritual forces. We have authority in Jesus Christ. We control them. We have authority over them. We have authority over the lives of the world. But get this, we're not controlling people. We bind this, and then we serve this. Get it? This is what we do. We loose an expression of mercy, of love, of kindness, of goodness. Jesus, the high priest, he prayed for us, but then what did he do? The cross loosed the very work of heaven into our lives. So when we say intercession, we're saying prayer, we're saying sacrifice. So important. That, again, big difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of darkness, curse you, manipulate you, I won't do anything for you, I'll do a bunch of stuff against you. The kingdom of light, I pray and then I give. Okay? What does the Bible say in Revelations? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. By what I sacrifice, by what I pray and say, right here. This is how we overcome the enemy. And we don't just do it for us and our family. We do it for the world around us. If I could just plead with you, that's why you and I are here in this world, is to do this. Are we still being forgiven every day? Do we still need to learn and grow? Absolutely. We're still on the job, though. We were created, you were created to intercede for those around you. When we intercede, we must bind and loose so people will see the grace and truth of Jesus. And don't miss this, because we're inviting them to die to live with him. Be careful about, you know, God loves us. All, it's so true. Tell him about it. He wants to bless. But again, you got to die to live. This is not, hey, you're a really great person. You should give Jesus an extra part in your life. That's not what this is. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that there is no salvation without crucifying the sinful nature, without trusting, submitting to God's word, without being filled with his Holy Spirit, because somebody's living in your house. You just got to decide who. This is the word. And we've got to remember that there is an offense to the cross. Now, we don't need to offend them through us. We don't need to offend them through our own personality and our own issues. But there is an offense to the cross. And we are calling people to die to live. And you can't forget that. We're not offering them something nice. We're offering them life. And there's got to be a confession of sin. So I just want you to see it. Jesus said it. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. So I'm praying for someone to know Jesus. I'm praying they're going to come to this point. That they're willing to deny themselves, take up the cross instead of running away from all the pain in their life. They're going to find that Jesus can heal and bring peace. He can heal the pain or be above the pain, depending on what his work is in the life. And follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? So recognize the end of your intercession. You know, I pray for people, especially family members who don't know the Lord, kind of prodigal sons. And I'm always like, hey, get ready for them to come to the end of themselves. It's probably going to get a lot uglier before it gets better. And don't pray for them to just get all rescued. I'm not saying don't pray for them not to have hope and to have encouragement. I'm just saying don't constantly pray for their circumstances just to come up roses when everything in their spirit. Now, I'm not saying wish them, you know, bad things. I'm just saying don't be surprised if a person you love an ache over goes from bad to worse. Because what's God trying to do? He's trying to get them to the end of themselves. And you don't want to be fighting against that. You want to be gracious and kind and merciful and encouraging, but you want people to find Jesus. You don't want them to get saved by their own works. So just recognize if you're going to intercede, what you're interceding for in people's lives. Does that make sense? So important. So if I could just say this, and I can't say this well, but just I wish I could say this in all the love of heaven. Don't give up on interceding for people. And don't stop when it gets worse instead of better. Because maybe God's working the exact thing you're praying for. And again, I can't explain. I'm not wishing bad on people. I'm just saying life, it's just, there's no hope outside of Christ. Nothing lasts. Nothing stays together. Colossians 1:17, Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And don't expect stuff to hold together if he's not the center. So be careful, because sometimes what I see is in family members, they get so much about how they're aching, they start praying the wrong way. It's like, whoa, whoa. Like, no, yeah, absolutely. Pray that they see Jesus today, but let's not make it about me right now. Let's make it about them. God, please, if they've got to go through this to find you, then Lord, just get them through as easily and with as much grace and mercy as you can, but don't let them miss that they need you. Don't let them miss it. So I just want to encourage you. That's intercession. That's how we pray. And I wish it's just all inspiring and all kind of yeah, yeah. It's like, come on, victory's coming. You'll have a moment to celebrate later, but you got to walk. Consider it a privilege. Please hear me. Consider it a privilege to ache for somebody for a whole lifetime. Consider it a privilege. Because you don't know what God's going to do. And you don't know past your lifetime the result of it. Don't despise it. Consider it a privilege that God's put you in that life to be just a little like Jesus and hurt all the way to the cross for him. So this is what I'm asking you to do. Would you take the next 7 days and the people you're thinking about, would you pray for them every day out loud? You go find some place private. Pray for them. If they're frustrating you, don't just be frustrated about them. Pray. Just, they're right here. Just pray that one a day. One a day. Pray it out loud. And just say, Jesus, I know you're able. Parents, you pray this for your kids. They already know the Lord. Pray this anyway. Pray all these things for them. Ask God to work in their lives. God is faithful. Whew. Okay, I can't wait for next week because we're going to do some celebrating. If you, as you're praying like this, watch who's going to come next week. Invite them, but pray for them. See the enemy tear down all the distractions. They're still going to make a choice. Loose a little Jesus love and kindness on them, and let those two things come together in amazing ways. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close in prayer. We can't finish this message without making sure that each of us here know Jesus. And if you haven't, you know, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior I just talked about, today's your day. And I just want to encourage you, don't wait another day. Don't let any other influence be greater than Jesus in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? We're just closing our eyes so we can open our hearts and not focus on what's physical right now. We want to hear and understand what the Spirit of God would say to us. So if you're here today and you know that God's speaking to you today, that you do need to come to the end of yourself and you do need to just repent of selfishness and sin like I have, like everybody in this room who knows Christ has. If you're ready to be willing to learn to listen to the Word of God and you want to invite the presence of God to come into your heart and life, as you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, He will come in. He just won't clean you up. He'll be with you. And so I'm just going to ask right now that you let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. In the name of Jesus, I bind any work of the enemy to distract or keep any person in this room or online from understanding the true love of God and that God is their Father, the one who created them and knows them and has good plans for them and has victory over every pain and enemy of this world. In the name of Jesus, Satan the Lord Jesus rebuke you right now in every person's life that listens to this. Holy Spirit, come. There is no spirit of fear in this place. I'm just going to ask you right now if you need to come and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Let what God's doing in your spirit make a decision in your soul for this body to raise a hand and say yes. So if that's you this morning, you want to agree with God and be His, would you raise your hand right now wherever you are? Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? This is your moment of freedom. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you've just raised your hand, I'm just going to ask you to just agree with me as I pray. You can whisper it. You can just say yes. But I just say it out loud with me. You don't have to repeat after me. Just follow just all the church praying right now. So, Lord Jesus, we say yes. Each person who raised their hand says yes. Jesus, thank you for giving your life on the cross. Thank you for forgiving me of how I've agreed with sin and Satan in this world. I ask you to set me free from the power of the enemy and from the influence of this world. I want to know true life this morning. I want to start again in you. I ask that you would come and make your home in my heart. I can't believe that you're going to do this, God. I feel so just unworthy. I feel like I've done so much wrong. But thank you for forgiving me by the blood that you shed on the cross. You loosed forgiveness for my life, and I receive it. And now I ask that your Holy Spirit would come in. God, come into my life. And I want to hear your word, and I want it to be the power of my life. I'm not going to believe what the world says. I'm not going to believe my feelings. I'm not going to believe my thoughts. I'm going to believe your word. And today, I am a new creation in Christ. And I am set free from the power of the enemy. And I am now yours. And Jesus, I want to partner with you to help people know life and know forgiveness and know peace. Make me a partner with you to help light come into people's darkness. I thank you and I call it done with no doubt, not listening to any doubt of the enemy. It's done in Jesus' name and I receive it now. We all agree. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if that last part of that prayer for all those who believe and now those who have just begun, if you'd say, Lord, use me as an intercessor. God, you already know the people God's put on your heart. If you agree right now, would you lift your hands? Say, Lord, strengthen me by the power of your Holy Spirit to intercede. I believe that you are always good, that every prayer is weakening the enemy and changing lives. Lord, show me how. Show me how to loose sacrifice in my life, to not speak or act in frustration, but to love. Lord, I can call to account. I don't have to ignore what's right and wrong. But Lord, help me to be an intercessor and meet with me every day as I pray. And don't let my job, don't let my family, don't let my health, don't let anything interfere with interceding this week. We just ask for it right now and pray that through it, Lord, the love that you've given us, other people would have. They would know it like we know it. They would be thankful the way we are thankful for it. Just take this moment. We believe we're on holy ground with you, not because of a church building, but because our hearts, your word has worked power in our hearts this morning. And your Holy Spirit now is changing our attitudes, changing what we care about, changing what we want. And Lord, I just pray that every person in this room would see themselves the way you see them. You love them. They are precious in your sight. They are partners with you. Bless them and make them a blessing, I ask. And make our faith as great with our eyes open as it is as when our eyes are closed in prayer. And teach us to see our school, teach us to see our family, teach us to see our workplace and our neighborhood the way you see it. And we will give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. We will finish declaring that you are good and you have been good to us today. And you are going to be good to those we love and care about. And you will sustain us as we sacrifice for you. You are good. We love you. We trust you in all ways. And we do so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. Can we praise the Lord? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. I wish I could give each of you a hug and walk with you this week, but God himself is with you. Don't forget to reach out in small groups and to loved ones. Encourage one another. Can't wait to continue to celebrate, and let's have a great harvest next week as we invite those to know Jesus. God bless you as you go.